Alleluia. Amen. 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 We give God praise for his faithfulness. We thank him for his presence here tonight. Lord, you are forever, always present, everywhere present. You did not leave here when we left. You were here, for you are everywhere. You're here with us this morning. You were with us when we went home. You are with us coming back here, keeping and protecting us. You are our peace. You are our keeper. You are all things to us. And Lord, we are aware and are awakened to the reality of who you are. And because that is so, our lives are forever changed. Our communities changed. Our ability to receive changed. Our ability to give changed. Everything about us is forever changed. For we dwell, we abide in the secret place. In you, under the pinions of your wings, sheltered and cared for, protected from all harm, fulfilled by grace, walking uprightly in righteousness and in truth, recognizing that you are forever God in our lives. Blessed be your holy name. And all of God's people together in Jesus' name said, yes. And amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, this afternoon when I left church and went home, I forgot my bag in the car. And you don't do that, and minus whatever it is. So my iPad is frozen, but I'm not frozen, praise God. God is still good, because I got Kristen over there. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We are in 2022. And what is God saying about this year? What should we be expecting? We've been dabbing here and there, touching one thing here, one thing there, one thing there, one thing there. And tonight, I am going to try to pull some things together so that you know very clearly, oh yeah, that was a prophetic declaration there. God said that. The thing is, many times we don't take the declarations of the Lord seriously. And through the years, I've come to understand one thing. God may say something to a whole lot of people to their hearing, and a handful of people take that word seriously and run with it and reorganize their lives with it. Chart their pathway based on the prophetic declarations of God. I don't want us to miss what is happening in our world. Because if somebody came to you, or you heard on the news, that a particular bridge that you've known to be there for decades, that you've driven across almost daily, was out, washed off. and you kept on speeding at the same pace, neglecting the instruction or the information you got, guess what's going to happen? You're going to come with that same speed and die at that same speed. Prophetic words and declarations are not there to scare us. They are there to forewarn us so that we know what's going on. And then we can do accordingly, position ourselves accordingly to make certain that whatever the intent of the enemy was, fails. We read about how the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, was going after the king of Israel. And how Elisha, time and time again, warned the king, don't go over there, they're going to ambush you over there. And by so doing, escaped a lot of disaster. That's what prophetic declarations do. But it also gives us direction in the positive on what it is that we ought to do. The Bible says about the children of Issachar that they knew the times and the seasons and what it is that Israel ought to do. They weren't a great tribe numerically, but they had insight. One of the things the Lord told us was that this was going to be the year that things are going to open up. He told us years previous that things are going to be shut and things are going to be opened at the same time. Just even today, within 30 minutes of each other, I received an invitation to minister to millions of people around the world, one after the other. I got one text, and then I got another text. And I'm going to have even more. But not only am I going to be able to do that virtually, but I'm believing God that things are going to be so wide open. And He's already doing it. He's already doing it. Because the other day, I read about how the British government dropped all of their mandates and everything and said, let's just leave. Canada shall not be last. Hallelujah. We cannot be praying here and the answer being in Britain. Praise the Lord. We shall have our own answer here. Praise God. But when the door opens, we've got to go through it fast. Really fast. This is the time to invest into the kingdom of God, to make sure that this gospel reaches as many people as possible. I believe that this time around, most of the ministry that we're going to do is not going to just be to the general church and just mass crusades, but actually teaching leaders who will in turn teach leaders, reach their people of influence. And I believe that's what God wants done here in this house. That what you hear in this house is not just buried with you, but that you recognize that God brought you to a place where you can hear the uncompromised, undefiled word of truth. and take that word and go forth with it. Because our first and primary call, no matter what we do, you know, one of these days I think I'm going to sit down and we're going to play the video on that primary calling, the calling to be a preacher, every one of us. The call to spread the gospel. That's your first primary goal. Your assignment. Go! Into all the world and preach the gospel. What should we expect in 2022? The Lord said to me, said, in 2022, I have placed what you need to expect in the scriptures. I hid some things in particular scriptures for this year. I said, where? Said, I want you to go into the Bible and look at 2022. And to my amazement, everything he had been saying were in those particular scriptures. I said, Lord, it's here. What you said you were going to do. But I already preached this stuff already. He said, preach it again. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 22 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen. Some say ye have seen. That I have talked with you from heaven. I talked to you from heaven to move you. So the first thing that God has been speaking to us about has been about this key of the revelation of his will. I want you to take note of these statements because these are going to be your prayer points this year. God, reveal your word to me from heaven. He says, you've seen it, that I have talked with you from heaven. God talking with us. God talking with you. God talking with me. Talking with us because he's fellowshipping with us. Wanting us to know what his will is. The Lord taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. God has a perfect will. There is a will of God in heaven. God knows what he's doing and what he wants done. And he wants you and I to tap into that inner circle, coming into that inner chamber connection where God speaks to us. The revelation of the word of God, the revelation of the will of God. This is the year God wants to speak with you and with me. Praise the Lord. In the book of Leviticus 20 and verse 22, he says, ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land, watch this, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. What is God saying? I want you to keep my word. He said, I'm not going to be the one who spits you out. He says, the land itself will spit you out if you don't keep my word. I'm going to speak to you from heaven. There's not going to be any doubt to the fact that you heard from God. But having heard from God, keep his word. Do what he's asking you to do. Because if you don't, the land will shoot you out. That is a powerful word. You know what's going to happen? There is going to be a lot of people who are not keeping to the word of God that are not going to end this year as believers. They will not end this year, 2022. As believers, because they have held on to untruth and their love for God will wax cold, and the promises of God, the promise God had for them, will spit them out. You say, but that's happened before. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like this. Everybody's wise to some level. Will you say that? But there's, in wisdom, there are people that you say, oh, that man is wise. Well, so it is that in this year, there are things that have always happened, but there is an intensity of it. Just a concentration of it that there's no way you can miss it. And it's just so obvious. It's a concentrate. It's not diluted. Bang! You know, that year, a lot of people. In Numbers, I preached on Numbers yesterday. One of the things I talked about when we came to Numbers was that in Numbers, key leaders died. In Numbers 20. Because they got offended. And one of the things I said to us last night was this. And I was speaking very specifically to leaders, well, to everybody, but specifically to leaders. The people are going to do things that want you to get offended. Don't bite. No matter what they do, don't go there. Because if you do, they're going to make you sin, and you will not enter the land, the promise of God. As for you. You will not come to your fullness. And so Aaron was harvested by God. He died on that mountain. Before he died, though, the garment, the mantle of honor that was on him, was taken off of him and placed on his son. So this is the year in which very important people in the body of Christ, a good number of them, are going to be harvested. But because we know that, when that happens, we don't fall apart. We just continue with the mantle of grace and keep on going. We don't slow down. Thank you, Father. Your servant has gone home to be with you. Like God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Come on, now you go. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to go. But you see, the mantle will be transferred. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Take note of these things and begin to pray with fervency, recognizing that these are the things that are going to happen in our day and in our times. In Leviticus, we did do Leviticus already. Okay. Now, let's look at Judges. Judges 20. This one is an interesting one. And I talked about this one a little bit this morning in a very different way. He says, and the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array, in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. They encouraged themselves. The story behind this particular verse is that the tribe of Benjamin had done some crazy stuff and the rest of Israel went after them. They had asked God if they should. God said it was okay. So they went and were beaten. Beaten. What? But God, you said go. We went and we get trashed. So they went back to God. What it says here, they encouraged themselves. Would you know that they asked God again and he said go? And they went the second time and were beaten again. What? But God, you said go. Oh, but the lesson is this. They went back. After they were beaten the second time, they went back again. And they asked God again. Fervency. Fervency. Not giving up is going to be the hallmark of believers that make it in 2022 henceforth. That you don't quit when you know the right thing to do, even though your tail was handed back to you. You go back. I know this is the right thing to do. I heard from God. Yeah, sure, you heard from God. Yeah. You heard from God. That's why you were so beaten. I don't know why I got beaten. But I don't know any other place to go. The only place I can go to is God. If I have to go 3 times, I'll go 3 times. If I have to go 7 times, I go 7 times. This principle is an incredible principle. The principle of tenacity. A resolute mindset that says, I'm not a quitter. No matter what this is, that's the direction I'm going. God help me. God said to the prophet Elijah, he said, go show yourself to Ahab. And when you show yourself to Ahab, there's going to be rain. Very clear statement. So he shows himself to Ahab. Well, there was no rain. They sacrificed. They defeated the prophets of Baal and Asherah and Ashtaroth and all of them on Mount Carmel. He did his thing. You know the story. I don't have time to dwell on that right now. But still no rain. Instead, he's on the run. And he gets to the mountain with his disciple, and he begins to pray. He sends his disciple to go check to see if there's anything happening in the sky. And the guy comes by first time, second time, third time, so on and so forth. Seven times. Sees nothing. And he comes back that seventh time and says, I see a cloud like the fist of a man's hand in the sky. And the man of God says, go tell Ahab to take off now. I hear the abundance of rain that he talked about so long ago. Now, after so many things, the word of God said, show yourself to Ahab and there will be rain. What's the lesson? When God tells you something, consult with him. See, God likes talking. If he says, go do this, first thing you need to do is ask him, how am I supposed to do it? What should I do? What are the steps? And he will give you step by step what you need to do, when you need to do it, how you need to do it. Because this is how you partner with God. So if we're going to partner with God, we need to be talking with God, hearing God, saying things back, having a discussion, fellowshipping. Whenever God has asked me to do something and I did not ask detailed questions, I flopped. When I asked questions, I found out there was more to what he said than what I was doing. In a few days, we're going to have our last screen here and start the process of installing it. When it was time to do it, that's when God said, now. 5 minutes before I came and stood behind this podium and told you we were going to have a last screen, I was clueless about it. And if the truth be known, it was the worst time to even think of doing anything. This is not the time during the pandemic, you know, to start going into major cost. Oh, but then I found out that there was more to it. The screen was just the tip. In a few months, everything in here will be totally different. Not because we went to the government and said, please, arms for the church, arms, give us something, please, some crumbs, please. No, we're offering. But we said, we don't want your stuff, keep it. Why? Because the Lord said, don't touch their stuff. Don't touch any of it. Well, there are churches that, a whole lot of them, I would say 90-something percent of them, took the money. But the question is, on the day that you think that that was the answer, and you've got another problem, and the government is not coming to play, what are you going to do then? Have you built up your faith to believe? Have you built up your faith to trust that God is going to do what God is going to do, and that He is your source and your resource? That He's your helper in the time of trouble, that He's present? Or you found out your own solutions? Ishmael always comes, and Ishmael is great, but Ishmael is going to give you problems. The challenge of encouraging yourself in the Lord. You're going to need to do that this year. David had to do that when the people wanted to stone him because they'd lost everything. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord and inquired of God, should I go? And God said, yes, go. And you will recover all. It's a year of recovery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, Word of God says, but if I say thus unto a young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee. Go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. This was a case between Jonathan and David. Saul the king is trying to kill David. But God had already worked out some details and made certain that he had an inside man in Saul's house. Saul's son, Jonathan. And Jonathan said to David, listen, my dad is trying to kill you. He's doing everything. And I'm going to check. Make sure that things are okay. If things are not safe, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to come to the field and I'm going to shoot an arrow. I'm going to say to the young man, go find the arrows. He says, if I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, they're farther down. He said, brother, take off. He said, what's the point there? The point is having clear direction, having supernatural assistance, help to advise you on what not to do or what to do at the right time. So keep your ears open. I hope you're hearing. If you want to escape problems, unnecessary mishap, keep your ears peeled. Know that God has help available to you. And you will not be snared by the enemy. 2 Samuel 20. I love this one. It says, then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. I said, Lord, what's the point? What do you want us to know about 2022 as it relates to this? It was very clear. Are you ready for this? Sheba, the son of Zikri, some little guy, was very abusive, cursing at David. David is peeved because of what this guy is doing. And he goes after him, sends his people after him. He said, go kill that guy. So they besieged a city. They start tearing the city down, ripping everything apart. And here comes this woman. The Bible says, she was a wise woman. Don't mess around with a wise woman. She said to Joab, Joab, what are you looking for? So we're here, we're looking for Sheba, son of Bichri. He said, that's why you're tearing this city all apart? Because of Sheba? Say, yeah. Say, just stay here. Wait. Please don't do anymore. Stop. She goes, cuts off the head of Sheba and brings it and dumps it. I said, okay, that's an interesting story. Well, what is it that you're trying to get at? And the Lord said, there are wars, there are battles that you have been going after that are going to stop this year. You will not fight that battle anymore, because the reason for the battle has been beheaded. Did you hear that? So expect certain things to end, distractions in your life that God is going to put an end to. Because God needs your full attention for what he wants done. Amen? Hear that? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let me go on. In 1 Kings,
He says, and the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go, strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year of the king of Syria will I come against thee. Well, what on earth? Lord, what are you trying to say? You said it's all here in 2022. Now, let me put a disclaimer here. What I'm doing tonight in going through this chapter and verse, this is not normal theological systems of teaching the Word of God. I would not even consider doing what I'm doing now if it were not for the fact that God says, I've hidden it in here. Go through this and you're going to find it. Particular things. The prophet came to the king of Israel. And what does he do? He says unto him, go strengthen thyself. Go put yourself together and mark and see what thou doest. Check yourself out. Because the king of Syria, if you don't get yourself ready, the king of Syria, when he finishes what he's doing over there, is coming for you. There is going to be an attack. So get yourself ready. Did you get that? It's the revelation of what's coming. And for the church, the people of God, individually and corporately, to be ready for the challenges ahead. Did you get our point? Second Chronicles. Yes, there will be attacks. But God says something else. This is a very important one. Having recognized in 1 Kings that there is going to be an attack, God wants us to know that victory is available. Hallelujah. This one, I'm going to take it from verse 20 and then come to 22. In verse 20, it says, and they rose early in the morning. They had been besieged by three groups of people that wanted Jehoshaphat out. They wanted him disinherited of the land that God had given to them as a people. It says, they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe God, and that's how you're going to be established. But then he says, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Believe in the Lord your God. That's going to be your foundation. Solid foundation. That's how you're going to be established, secured. But I want you to believe his prophets. Because it is the prophets with a prophetic word that are going to propel you into your destiny. So guess what? Just like Numbers 20 was a chapter where leadership was being harassed and attacked, the devil wants us to go into one or the other. I believe God. That's all I believe. And that's good. But that's not going to prosper you. Or you go the other way. I believe the prophet. Well, that's good. But that's not going to establish you. Got to have both. Love God. Love his servants. Because in listening to the prophetic declaration, that's where you are going to see how you effectively bring about change in your world. May I say something to you? We all live in this world. It's called the earth. But the reality also is that you live in your own individual world that I don't know anything about. And you create that world with your belief system. But that our world is a world that is properly ordered. Just like you have, you know, we all live here, but we all have our own individual homes. It may be the same kind of building, but everybody comes to their own taste in decorating their homes. Is that true or not? Well, the same thing is true about you as a spirit being living in this physical body. You determine what's happening in there, whether you are going to make it or you're going to fail. You're going to determine that. And ultimately, the prophetic word that's going to work in your life is the prophetic word that you receive, believe, and fight with. Paul says to his son, he says, listen, fight a good fight based on the prophetic word that was bestowed upon you. What did God say about your life? You take a hold of it. Say, this is what I'm supposed to be in my life. This is what I'm supposed to do in my life. And you don't allow anybody or anything, not a circumstance, to deter you from doing what you know you should do. See, if God says to you, you're going to be a doctor, I can guarantee you there is going to be a subject or a teacher or something that's going to stand in the way to make sure that you don't become that doctor that you want to be. And so you have to determine in your heart that you don't come into agreement with those lies, and you fight the good fight of faith, and you say, that's what I'm going to be. God said, this is who I am. And circumstance, move out of the way. You teacher that is standing in my way, you either change or you get fired one way or the other, because you're not going to stay in my way. And based on that prophetic word, you continue to prosper. Now, verse 22 is the verse we want. Let's go to 21 and then I'll land in 22 and I'll tell you what I need to say. He says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as he went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. He put a choir in front of the military force. And they're saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And he's singing it. And the Bible says, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, praise God, ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Did Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah have reason to be scared? Oh, absolutely. The forces that were come against them were great, but they served a greater God. And listen to their declaration. His mercies endure forever. You know what they were doing? They were simply saying, God, we're not going to this battle based on our righteousness. We're not going into this battle based on all the right things we've done. We're going to this battle seeking your mercy. Just your mercy. I have nothing to offer, because I know in my own ability I'm not good enough. So this is not about, oh God, I've been very good. You owe me. No, that's not going to work. Mercy. Now you're talking. Mercy. God, your mercy. It endures. It cuts through all the nonsense and it brings me to the other side. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Hallelujah. 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 In Job, God says there are challenges. There are challenges. The enemy is just going to come and he's going to do his thing. And you think it was finished, then it starts again. But the God who won the victory for you before will win it again. May not be the same way, but in 2022, you are not going to be the victim. You are going to be the victor. Hallelujah. He says, in the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him. Attack everybody. The press, the government. People that are not aligned with the things of God. Everybody scratching. But I thank God. He always has an answer. In Proverbs 20, he says this to us. Say not thou, I will recompense evil. Don't say I'm going to recompense evil, because they're doing evil. They're doing bad things to me. He says, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. I like that. No matter what it is they're doing, he says, just wait, be patient. I'm taking this on. Just chill. I'll take care of this. Sit down, rest. Wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Praise the Lord. He's going to save you. Now, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to ask you to come with me, because God is saying, I am going to do justice. I'm going to be a God of justice. And this year, you're going to see a lot of things happen where sons and daughters of God are being harassed. You're about to see the tables turn, flip. Hallelujah. So this is not a time for us to be afraid about anything. We know the end of the story. When they start putting their petitions and their legislations and their whatever, serving papers, you've been served. Don't fall apart and say, you've been served. No, I serve you back. When I hit this ball back, you're not going to be able to stop it. If you try to stop it, it will cut right through your racket. In Psalm 9 and verse 18 to 20, the word of God says, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. This is a God of justice. It says, arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. And verse 20, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. You're going to see governments back off, lose in their intentions because of the intervention of God. Hallelujah. Just plain intervention of the Lord. God intervened in 2 Chronicles 22. God is intervening again for his people. Here in Proverbs 20. In Psalm 11, verse 4 through 7, we read these words. Psalm 11. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tried the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hated. Upon the wicked, watch this, upon the wicked he shall rain snares. Why? Because the wicked are sowing snares. And God says, you like trapping people? Okay. I'll give you a harvest of that. There are going to be traps everywhere for you that you are not able to maneuver over. There's going to be a whole slew of mine in your field. Fire and brimstone and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Wow. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. There will be justice in the land. And as I said, by the leading of the Holy Spirit before, there's going to be a lot of harvesting of people, not only in the house of God, but predominantly in the rest of the world. So why does God start in his house? Because He doesn't want anybody to accuse him. But they did the same thing. He says, yeah, it's my kid. Spack, spack, out. Okay, you, I'm bringing the sledgehammer. It's a different thing. So you're going to see it. You're going to see it, not just in 2022, but going. People, for absolutely no reason, just dropping dead. And if you check why, you'll find a reason. They were busy plotting and trying to do wickedness. And God says, I've had enough of your mouth. You think you are all that? Macho, macho man. I will macho on you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is what we are about to see. And let me just do one more. Proverbs 11, verse 7 to 11. Talking about justice, judgment. It says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. In other words, when I get rid of that particular individual, there will not be a continuity of his project. I love that. There's no passing the baton to the next person to run with it. No, when I take him out, I take that project and dump it in the garbage. In fact, fire and brimstone. Wow. I love the way God handles things. He's patient. But when he's had it, he's had it. Hallelujah. He says, and the hope of the unjust men, their hope perisheth. Unjust people, their hope perisheth. When leaders start doing things and legislating things and putting things in place just to be unjust, God takes that as a personal challenge and says their hopes, their desires, all of it will perish. Next verse. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. That's you and I. He didn't say there will be no trouble. He says he will be delivered out of trouble. And the wicked cometh in his stead. I'm like, oh my God. He says, I'm going to take you out of the trouble, and the wicked, I'll put them in there instead. Wow. You know that happened with Nebuchadnezzar? Those guys busy accusing Daniel and blah, blah, blah. You know, he takes Daniel out and he throws them and their families in. And the lions that had lockjaw, short mouths, all of a sudden had an open mouth feast. Anybody targeting you and thinking they're going to get you out? Sorry. This whole thing is going to backfire. So it's not for you to worry. God says, don't do anything. Just step out of the way. Let me. Because if you stay in the way, the bullets can hit you. So get out of the way. Because I'm going to take care of business. Hallelujah. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyed his neighbor. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. May God grant us supernatural knowledge to be delivered from the enemy's attacks. Next verse says, when it goeth well with the righteous, oh, this is you. When things are going well with you, the city is going to rejoice. Amen? We declare that our city will rejoice because of us. In 2022, henceforth. It says, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. There is a shouting. But it's not a shouting because they're going to be missed, but there's a shout because people are free. Whoever is trying to deny us of our freedom, they will be the ones in bondage. Because God has not called you to bondage. Hallelujah. Anyone trying to manhandle the people of God, they poke in their finger at the eyes of the Most High. And he's got a big fly swapper. He will swap them just like flies. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What mercy is available to us? He said, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Because you are blessed. That's why you must not think of yourself anything less than that. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Allow the God of the universe, who says the silver and the gold is mine, all the minerals, everything in the planet belongs to me, and I get to give it to you. When you and I understand that our God is Lord over all, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, God is still able to manipulate the system in your favor. Amen? So we celebrate the uprising of everyone. He says, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. The mouth of the wicked overthrow a city. So what do? We must declare that the wicked doesn't have a voice, that their mouth is forever shut up, because our city must do well. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is how we partner with God. We know what God's word says. And so when we pray exactly that. Lord, your word says the blessing of the upright. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. I thank you that my city, Winnipeg, is exalted before you because of my life, because of my fellow brothers and sisters. Every one of us blessed, every one of us elevated, prosperous, established in your goodness. And we declare right now, by the authority of your word, that every mouth of the wicked that seeks to overthrow your divine purpose for our city, for our nation, for our province, that their mouths are shut now. In the name of Jesus, we cripple the voice of the wicked that goes to and fro. This day we cut that voice down and we subdue it under the authority of your everlasting word. You are sovereign and I live in a blessed city. Everything around me is blessed because I am blessed. Oh, wow. What a prayer. This is how we partner with God, because God wants our cities blessed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 22, God talks about mercy. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my namesake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. God says, I wanted to judge you, but I withdrew my hand. and I extended mercy for my name's sake. For my name's sake. Oh, that's a good one. Because, oh God, bless me for your name's sake. That your name may be exalted and you be praised. Do something good in my life. You know, interesting. This is how God wants us to maneuver through these wicked days that we are in. Draw on His mercy. Draw on the awesomeness of His name. God, your name must not be polluted. People must not look at the car that I'm driving and say, I thought you said your God was a good God. You are busy fogging Winnipeg with your smoke. Oh, no. They're not going to look at your car and say, well, brown will be a nice color because it will hide all the rust. No. When they see me drive, their jaw should drop. When they see my house, they say, wow, who lives in that house? Whose car is that? When they see you coming down the street, they say, oh my, that must be somebody. look at him from his head. Look from his head right to. Everything about your life must testify of the goodness of the Lord. Amen? And stop being jealous of people that are heading on and getting stuff done. Celebrate with them. Praise God. And like one of our sisters, one of our daughters says every time she sees, it doesn't matter if she just got a car last month. When we're thanking God for a new vehicle that somebody has, she comes there and she thanks God for that and then says, me too. Hey, you just got one last month. What do you mean, me too? Hey, my father has lots. So me too. Hallelujah. Don't gripe and complain about somebody else being blessed. Celebrate with them and just say, me too. God bless me. Make me a blessing because I want my city, my neighborhood to change. When I moved, Mom and I moved to where we used to stay on Lindcrest many years ago. The house, you remember me saying I didn't want to go into that house. I didn't want that house. I actually called it the ugly house because it was the ugliest house on the whole street. A whole street, this was the ugliest house. But when we finished with the house, it was the best looking house on the street. Wow. Nice house. When we move to the next one, same thing. But because of our house, everybody on our street started fixing their houses. Because ours was shining. And say, we got to catch up. And the whole street got elevated. That's you. That's me. You are called to elevate everything around you. Because the good hand of God is upon your life. In 2022, you shall attain God's divine purpose for your life and impact many to the glory of God. Hallelujah. All for His name's sake. Amen? Let me begin to wrap up. In Matthew, chapter 20 and 22, God asks a question. Are you able? You want things, but are you able to drink the same cup. The mother of the sons of Zebedee had come. We're asking the Lord Jesus Christ to do something. Mothers always fight for their babies. And they said, Jesus, I know you got lots of disciples, but these two, these are my babies. They are special. So you got to set a very special place for them. One on your right and one on your left. Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. This is very important. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? Do you know what it's going to cost to rise up to this higher level? And to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. You are able, huh? Okay. They said it. One of the first martyrs in the church was James. He said he was able. John was the last, but he went through some major tortures.